A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Ask now of the days of old, before your time, ever since God created man upon the earth, ask from one end of the sky to the other. Did anything so great ever happen before? Was it ever heard of? Did a people ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire, as you did, and live? Or did any god venture to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation? By testings, by signs and wonders, by war, with strong hand and outstretched arm, and by great terrors, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. This is why you must now know and fix in your heart that the Lord is God in the heavens above and on earth below, and that there is no other. You must keep his statutes and commandments that I enjoin on you today, that you and your children after you may prosper, and that you may have long life on the land, which the Lord your God is giving you forever." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Happy are the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Happy are the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Your words, O God, are truth indeed, and all your works are ever faithful. You love justice and right, your compassion fills all creation. Happy are the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. See how the eye of God is watching, ever guarding all who wait in hope, to deliver them from death and sustain them in time of famine. Happy are the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Our soul is waiting for God, for God is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O God, be upon us, who place our hope in you. Happy are the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to
God. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Feels better to stand out here, and in a couple weeks, be able to stand down there. Much better place to preach from the middle of the assembly than way up here. Now, Father Mark and I were talking last night about Trinity, and he says, you know, it's almost a lost sense within the church. And yet it shouldn't be. If you look at the book of Genesis, what does God say? God says, "Let us create man and women in our own likeness." Aha. We have the multiple persons in God saying, "Let us create them out of our love and in some kind of relationship that relates back to our love for one another." And yet, all too often we say, "Well, let's pray to Jesus." We forget. Jesus is always there with the Father and the Spirit. And if we pray to the Spirit is always joined by the Father and the Son. And if we pray to the Father, it's the same way. If we pray to the Spirit, so we're never praying to God separated out into pieces as we understand them. And our understanding really comes about through taking a Hebrew sense and translating it into Greek and Roman senses. And so we start splitting it all up and wondering how we get back there. In fact, Augustine, 30 years after he had written a big treatise on this, Trinity, says, "I don't understand." Okay, if Augustine didn't understand, how are we? But let's go back and understand that we are created in the image and likeness of God, which means we're created to be relational people, relational to one another. That's how we relate back to God, who is relational. Now, if we look at our own medical history and things of that sort, now, infants who were preemies or ill were kept in incubators and still are. But they found in the hospitals that these little children were not thriving. And so they developed a way that they would have someone hold even these tiny infants who were in incubators for some time each day, and they began to thrive just from a sense of relationship with others. We certainly have seen how solitary confinement in prisons hurts people. Now, there are some people who have been so hurt that you're almost not going to be able to let them out of solitary confinement. That's sad. That says something about how we've treated relationships in life. And yet, if you would go, as I used to do, to the Nebraska death row, while they were kept somewhat in solitary, they could talk to one another through things, and they had a community. They recognized having to be in relationship even as they awaited what could ultimately be their being put to death. And one of them, who we were close to, was, and that hurt. But our sense of relationship, you know, those of us who are married, you know, we do have a relationship. We have the love for one another, and in the sacrament, we join that together to be a relationship which is permanent and continues to be loving. Of course, that means that we've also been treated well and trained well within our families. Again, relationships are the basis of who we are as people. Sometimes we'll say that in baptism we become children of God. Yes, we do in a special way, but just by birth, if we look at Genesis, we are children of God. And how do we treat one another and become more fully that? So we know that infants have only the selfishness of trying to stay alive. They don't really love us. They just make noises at us because they can't figure out love yet. But as they grow, they're given the ability to grow in love and relationship, which is what we're called to do as we see God in our relationship through the sacraments. Related to God, related to one another. Hasn't it been difficult for the last year not being allowed to have that kind of relationship among people? And many people have been really hurt by being alone and being afraid to even come out. And hopefully, with some common sense, and still the sense where we need to have masks, we'll do it and allow that growth, regrowth can happen in society. Not having relationships hurt. Not having a relationship as the Trinity has would hurt us also. You know, in our Western church, where we just took all of the Roman and Greek stuff, we end up with the Trinity as a triangle. In the Eastern church, which didn't get bothered with a lot of that, the Trinity is still a circle, a continuous relationship that doesn't have angles to it that stop you. It's the way we live as community. Now let's look what happens in today's scriptures. First we have Moses saying, has anybody ever heard God and lived? Oh my gosh. They didn't even worry about seeing God. They heard God and lived. And then Paul takes us through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but he never really mentions it as Trinity. And still, even as we had the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and by the way, our words today were the last words of Matthew's Gospel. Beyond that, it depends on us. And he says, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As a unity, as someones we relate to each and every day. Our Trinity, just if we have any sense of relationships, just take that and live with it. Because if Augustine could say, after he wrote a huge tome on Trinity can say, I don't understand. That's right. And we never will. We're still trying to write from terms down here for what goes on there. Will we ever understand? Not until we get there. But we can try to understand the relationship part and live the relationship part of Trinity, of caring, of loving, of being with one another and serving one another. That's what Holy Trinity brings us together, brings us together in the greatest way it can, in the greatest way we can. We come together to celebrate Eucharist, to celebrate Thanksgiving that we have been baptized into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's into the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit so that we're facing God in a new way as people who are baptized. And then what does it say? What happens to us at the end of that celebration? We're sent out. Now we're going to run into some people we may not like. Oh well. They're still created in the image and likeness of God, as Genesis told us, as Jesus tells us as we go along. So our celebration today is Trinity. Trinity as a completeness of relationships, one to another, a relationship that doesn't really have angled points on the triangle. It's certainly more like the circle that continues around and around and never ends, never comes apart, as long as we work hard among ourselves to have relationships which are indeed Trinitarian.
There's a number of announcements, and one of the most pertinent announcements, of course, is with some of the changes that we'll be seeing as the state of Ohio, effective this week, June 2nd, begins to relax some of the restrictions connected to COVID. And even within our own diocese, as we're receiving new liturgical guidelines. This is for the benefit of all who are present here physically with us, but in a special way, this is for the benefit of those joining us via live stream or who will be reviewing this later in the week. We want everyone to kind of have some clarity and some understanding of how we plan to at least begin implementing some of the changes as we return to some sense of normal experience of parish life, especially with regard to the sacred liturgy. With that being said, there are a number of moving parts, as you can imagine. So there's a lot of conversations that we are having behind the scenes just to work out some of the details in light of Bishop Malesic's memo that was issued a little over a week ago to help us plan for June 2nd and going forward. I thank Charlene and Deacon Leo, as well as Stephanie Pritz and Jeanette Shimo as our staff, and then members of our Parish Liturgy Commission, as well as other leadership in the parish, that we send out the memo and we've been collecting people's thoughts and reflections with regard to how to do this in the safest and most logical way. So those reflections were all collected just at the end of this past week. I've been reviewing those, and in light of that feedback, and pulling together a draft which will be given to some key staff people this week so we can see if this is the best way to go forward. We are also reaching out and are very grateful for the advice and guidance of the members from the health community who have been walking with us this past year or so. So once we have all of that vetted, hopefully we will be able to share with you some of those changes. But here's what I can tell you beginning next Sunday when we gather again for the Eucharist. We do know that masks will be optional beginning next week. You do not need to wear masks going forward. However, if you have not yet been vaccinated, it's highly recommended that you would continue to wear masks, primarily for your safety. So please, note well, masks are optional beginning next week. However, if you're not vaccinated, we highly recommend it. We also know, and this is for our friends who are viewing this live stream, as well as those who may know of loved ones who are a little bit resistant to still be returning to Mass in person. I think it's very important to note that we're taking that under consideration. And part of that consideration is that it seems to be the consensus that we will still be reserving a section within the church itself with some social distance seating. The rest of the church, these ropes will be removed and there'll be open seating. But we do realize, out of personal concern for those maybe who are going a little extra cautious for their own health or the health of loved ones, we will still have a portion of the church designated for social distancing. And also, if those individuals have not been vaccinated, they may want to even sit there just for their own safety. But we won't be policing it. We're just leaving it as an option. But know that we're trying to be very sensitive and very balanced in our approach. Also, we will continue to encourage the sanitizing of our hands upon entering the church, as well as prior to Holy Communion. At least for the time being, we will continue that twofold practice upon entering and just prior to Holy Communion. Next week, we will most likely still be entering through the main doors of the church here. That will begin to be relaxed after next week, and we'll use all the entrances of the church as we would prior to COVID. But for next week, please come through there. It gives the greeter an opportunity to just instruct folks upon some of the changes. So that way, if they've not heard this announcement this weekend, they'll be walking into something new, and we just want people to feel welcome and aware of what's happening. And again, as in the past year, just a sincere thanks for your cooperation as we've had to deal with this, and as we've had the opportunity to gather publicly for Mass, knowing certainly not the ideal way that we've been doing it, that the church even envisions our celebrations. But you have been awesome. Your concern for each other's safety as well as your own, that has been very evident. And again, for our friends joining us live stream, or for our friends who received this message who are still at home, still considering or reconsidering coming back, we are doing everything we can to make it a priority of safety, comfort, and a warm welcome. We also know that as things liturgically change and develop, we will also be working with our groups that provide ministry outside of the liturgical experience. Our Sunday morning gatherings, for example, a very important part of our parish tradition here. That will also be moving forward as we begin to relax in light of the governor's orders and the CDC. And remember, there's two CDCs that we have to be compliant with, right? Center for Disease Control and Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. So we live in two worlds, right? And there's harmony among the two, you know? So that's where faith and reason have always come together as we're addressing the COVID pandemic. So again, thank you for your cooperation. A couple of other announcements while I have a captive audience and you're still seated. As you know, next week we are celebrating the solemnity of the body and blood of our Lord. This is a beautiful solemnity. It's usually celebrated on the Thursday right after Trinity Sunday, but for years, decades in the United States, for pastoral reasons, it's always moved to the Sunday after Trinity Sunday. And what a beautiful way to come together to celebrate the Eucharist as we're beginning to see light at the end of this tunnel with regard to the pandemic. Mindful of so many prayers, Deacon Leo mentioned in his homily, you know, there are people who are still isolated, who are hurting, just feel lonely. And that's going to take some while. But what a beautiful way, maybe on Corpus Christi, where we see a physical movement of progress with the pandemic, that we begin to relax some of these things, that we come with grateful hearts on Corpus Christi Sunday. Over at St. Pat's, we invite you after the 11:30 Mass over there, all Sunday afternoon, weather permitting, we're going to have Eucharistic Adoration. The Blessed Sacrament will be on the altar on the porch of the rectory, right there on the front yard. Come, bring your lawn chair, spend some time in the front lawn praying with our Eucharistic Lord, praying in solidarity with one another. There's a couple of activities at 3 o'clock. We'll be praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for peace. And then also at 5 o'clock, a rosary for life and peace. And then we'll conclude with benediction at 6 o'clock. Come for a little bit of it, a lot of it, whatever you're available, come and swing by. and make yourselves at home. If the weather is inclement, we'll do that inside the church. But one way or another, we're going to celebrate it. And then finally, tomorrow is Memorial Day, as you all know. And we at St. Patrick's, it's our privilege to host our partner parish Memorial Day Mass this year. So 9 o'clock tomorrow morning at St. Pat's, St. Malachy, Pat's, and Wendelin, our parish partners, will come together to celebrate the civic holiday. Keeping in mind, of course, our gratitude for the men and women who serve, who have served in the military, in public safety, and especially those who have given their lives in service of country and our local communities. And of course, wherever your travels take you tomorrow, may you be safe and may you receive much blessing. Now, before our blessing, the joy of being a priest, my spiritual family are all of you. So today I share with you, this is my 23rd anniversary of priesthood, and that's kind of in our celebration, our anniversary, because when you're ordained for public service, it becomes a celebration for all of us. I want to tell you, 23 years ago, at 10 o'clock in the morning, ordained at St. John's Cathedral, little did I know, 23 years later, I'd be celebrating Mass here at St. Malachy with all of you. And that's kind of the joy of the priesthood and the permanent diaconate, that we're ordained for the local church, for the diocese, and we go where the Lord needs us to go, right? So it's been an adventure. It continues to be an adventure. I'm sure having me around, it's an adventure for you, but it's certainly a joy. And I just ask you today, keep me, but all of the priests, as we're celebrating our anniversary today, if you would keep us in your prayers. And I'd like to invite you, if you join me in a special Hail Mary, just that priests continue to grow in holiness, that we're rid any hard corners, rough edges, and that we really have the capacity to love as Jesus the Good Shepherd. So I've always entrusted my priesthood to our Blessed Mother, and I'd ask you to join me and pray for me and my classmates and all the priests throughout the church, that we may truly be the servants that we're called to be for God's holy people. So please, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Mother of the Church and Mother of Priests, pray for us. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Thank you.